Lord, thank you for your presence. It is so, and so it is. And we're live, and I thank God for everybody. This is Elder Anton Seals, Elder Jennifer Seals, and we thank God for having this opportunity again to share in the Word of God. That's, yes, we got you. Is that, who is that just came on?
Sister Taylor.
Hey, Sister Taylor, God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to begin praying. We're just thanking God for all of you that are on. We give praise and honor and glory. And thanking you, Lord, for this is another day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so this is Elder Anton and Elder Jennifer Seals in our weekly Bible class, AJS Ministry Bible class on Smith Wigglesworth. And the book is called By Faith, Smith Wigglesworth on Faith. Let's say by, on faith. Very powerful book. We're in chapter 17. And I shared with you all last week when I was preparing this in my studies last week, I knew with this being 18 pages, we only got through half of it. I stopped at 11 pages. I sent you 11 of them, so we'll finish the other part next week. We won't finish until August the 3rd, if that's okay with you all, because it's just so, this chapter is really powerful. Every week has been a great experience. I praise God for all of you weathering through everything to be on and being so supportive and encouraging to tell me to keep going. So thank you, thanking God. That we're doing it for the glory of God. And so we thank you, everyone that's listening. If you're on Facebook Live, this is Elder Anton, Elder Jennifer Seals. It's our weekly Tuesday class. This is the seventh chapter 17, part one, chapter 17, part one. And it's a very powerful lesson out of the book by Smith Wigglesworth. Those of you that are on with me live, you have handouts. We're going to start right on that first page where it says only believe. And we've studied some of this. So part of this is going to be kind of a review. We've talked a lot about different parts of the lesson, but I want to go through. This is page 169 in your book. I do have it up on the computer screen, but I don't want to share it right now. So I just thank God, all of you that are on and those that are listening in listening land. But we're thanking God. And I see a technical problem. Hold on 1 second. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Fix it, fix it, fix it. Because I don't know what's causing it. Okay, so we just go forward. I don't know what's causing what I'm seeing. I just see a phone in front of me. I don't see the full screen. But we're thanking God for everybody that's on. And we'll just try to get this worked out. There it is. So God, thank you and bless the name of Jesus for everything that he's doing in your life and my life, praising God. So we're in chapter 17, and this is called Only Believe. And this, every chapter, he reminds us the power of faith, the power of the Word of God. And so I am so grateful to you, Lord Jesus, for this word, for Smith Wigglesworth, and for the teaching. God bless you, Elder Jennifer Seals. Praise God. Thank you for joining. Only believe in chapter 17. And I want to read part of this to you. It says on page 169, I want you to be full of joy. Enjoy joy to a full, deep well. And I want you to remember that, because a part of the lesson talks about the deep unto the deep. And then he goes on and he says, if you have to make it happen, there's something wrong. If God makes it happen, there's always something right. And so when we get out of self and let go of self, let go of my will, your will, I, our self, and just what I feel. When I get away from the what I feel and really focus in and hone in to that secret place in the, under the shadow of his wings, under the power of his might and his glory, believing by faith that his word is the presence of God, that we're ushered into the presence of God by believing. So we must be careful to see what God means, something greater. So God has something so much greater for us. And so as we go forward in this lesson, God heals by your faith to believe. And so over the last several weeks that we've studied this, we've studied a lot about different stories. And today I wanted to just go back and help you to see. And I just want to show those of you that are class that are looking in with me or listening in. I don't know if you have your sheets in front of you, but I'm going to share something with you on your screen. Let me go to another share. I want to bring up something that will help you to see what I gave you. If you go at your sheets that you're on, those of you that are on the phone, could be on Zoom and I can't see you. I'm opening the link. If you see where it says Jesus heals, if you click that link where it says Jesus heals, if you click that link, you will find when you open that link, a list of all the miracles that Jesus did. And so I just wanted people to see that. I wanted you to know that if you click that link, it talks about in the chronological order for each of the four gospel books, it outlines for you what the lesson is, what Jesus did, each of the miracles, 37 miracles that are listed by Jesus. And I want you all to just be aware that I've given that to you so you can look at the cross references and other resources that I tried to share with you as we get deeper into the lesson. But Father believes his demons possessed. So this father who we begin with this story today, they came to the other side of the sea, and the father meets Jesus. And this is in the Gadarenes. And so he says, this is one of the stories. This one is about the boy in the tomb. And so he comes and the demons recognized Jesus. And we talked about this several weeks ago. And he was come out of the ship immediately. When you're in the spirit realm, don't ever think that you're never going to be attacked by the devil. You always know that God says that I've given you the armament, the full armor, put on the whole armor, keep your mind stayed on Jesus, but never get to the place that you take it for granted that you're not going to be under attack, because many are the afflictions. So let's keep that in mind. So as we study this word today, and when he comes out of the ship, the man from the tombs, the possessed young boy, man comes out. And Jesus asked him, who are you? And we studied this last week, and he said his name is Legion. So he cast out these thousands of demons, 2,000 demons in this one man. And so the important thing is to know that as Jesus gets out of the ship, he's also meet in this chapter 5. And that's why I laid it out this week, this way. If you look at on your handout, it gives you three different experiences that Jesus is referring to in this teaching by Mark. Mark references three times that while he's yet going to bless somebody. So when you're doing God's work, you may be en route to do something, and on the way, something else could come up in your life and you'll be called. And if it happens, just know that God prepared you for it. There's nothing under the sun that God does not know about. What gets weak is us. It's our flesh, it's our minds, it's our natural thinking selves that gets weak because we can't figure out what it is that God is doing because we're in the way. But if the Lord is using you, and if you never get used, if you never get challenged, if you study in the Word of God and you're helping people and you teaching and preaching, or just a person who loves God and living for the glory of God, and you never get no attacks, then I question whether or not we have a relationship with God. Because if you really love God, you know, you sense when the attacks come. You know that things just don't happen accidentally. It could be that they just come because it's a test, not because you've done anything wrong. But on the way, Jesus is getting out of the boat. And while he's yet getting out of the boat, in the Gadarenes, in the country called Gadarenes, he meets this one man who's possessed by 2,000 demons. It says a legion, 1,000, I'm sorry. And so it's Jairus on the way, while he's still dealing with this demon who he delivers. Now he's also being confronted or being met by Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who's saying, my daughter, and her name is Talitha. Talitha, come forth. My daughter, come forth. That's what Jesus is going to tell us when we get further into this. But he's saying to us that on the way, while yet serving, many things come up against us in trials and tribulations that we get confronted with. And so as this story goes on, He said that in Mark 5:21, and when Jesus passed over again by the ship to the other side, he was returning back to Capernaum. So he wasn't in the same area, but he was returning back to Capernaum. And so Jairus by name, when he saw him, fell at his feet. Now, here's a ruler of the synagogue, but see, just because you go to church don't mean everybody in the church loves God. Here's a man that goes to a synagogue who's teaching things that everybody doesn't believe that this is God. So the word of God is going forth through Jesus, but the people who are studying the word don't believe this is God's word in Jesus. But this man, Jairus, the ruler, believed. He had faith. And so today we're talking about your faith, my faith, and whoever's listening. We're encouraging you by your faith to believe that God is working miracles, seen and unseen. Wait on the Lord and be encouraged. Know that he's working it out for his glory. And he besought him greatly. My daughter, my little daughter is lying, dying. And so the story goes on. She's lying, dying. I pray thee, come, Lord, and lay hands on her. So he had heard the miracles. He had heard and all about the power of God. He'd been studying and knowing that this word, that the Messiah that they talked about in the Old Testament, that's where they were in the Old Testament time, that all these stories and all the writings that were on the scribes and all the stories that are being taught from the books from the synagogue, they weren't like books that we have. They're not like this. They were scrolls of paper. And so they were teaching the word of God, and he's traveling, and he said, I'm going to Jesus to get some help. I'm asking us to think about when you're facing trials and tribulations in your relationships, in your marriage, in your children, and sickness and disease. So you're praying for people that may have cancer. You're praying for somebody that may be suffering from the pandemic. Whatever it is, trust God and ask him to heal and to deliver you, because he's given you power. So the ruler of the synagogue, a daughter who's dying, comes to him, and yet by faith, to believe she lives. So the heading there says the ruler of the synagogue dies. I'm supposed to be the ruler of the daughters of the synagogue dies. And so we'll get into that in a minute. But so be besought me greatly, my little daughter. And so God is saying, beseech me, call on my name. Call him in the time of trouble. Pull away from everything else, because some people won't believe. So you don't want to be around people who are loading your ears and your thought. And even if you had a job where Clarence is right now, he said he had to find a quiet spot. So whatever you are, wherever you take your lunch break, and sometimes you got to pull away to get that space of meditation. I heard this morning as my wife was praying, the Holy Spirit just came over me, and I kept praying in tongues, and I just heard in the Spirit, dwell in my presence, be still and dwell in my presence. So that's what the Lord is saying to us. Now, as he's yet dealing with this and he's on the way, Jesus is always with you. He's always nigh thee. And here he says now in point number three, he says in Mark 5:25-28, a certain woman. Now, this is the woman I called last week by accident, Mary. We know that it's the woman with the blood issue. The woman with the blood issue who's been sick all these years. Now she comes to him, 12 years of sickness. She spent all her money. And interesting that I suffered with this pain that I had for over 12 years. But suffering with pain is a terrible experience if you live with it every day. And so God delivers. And so he delivered me from it. But here we have Mary. I want to touch the hem of his garment. Just let me touch. And so he's dealing with three things now. Now this is the omnipotent presence of God, the omnipotence present, omniscience of God. He knows everything. So there's nothing new, but as he's traveling, he's helping on the way. With throngs of people around him, and the disciples say, well, how would you be concerned about somebody touching the hem of your garment? Well, I want you to know that God hears the sincerity of your prayers. That's what that's about. When listen to this, for she said, if I may touch, and I say to you today, touching the hem of the garment today is not a garment. Today, it's not a garment. What you're touching today is this Bible. It's called the living word. You can't touch the hem of Jesus' garment literally. And so literally what it's saying is, if you open up this word, if you open up this Bible and you get into it and you get into the study of my word
and get into the word of God and study it. Ah, you're touching him. You're touching him. And so she says, he says, Jesus says, somebody's touched me. And I felt something. I see, Jesus knows. He hears when you hear that in the Old Testament, they said that the fragrance from the incense at the altar of prayer becomes your sweet smell. It's a move of the smell. It's a move of the herbs. So there's a movement that moves God in you. And it's the sincerity. See, the prayers that you're offering up is not just some words. It is words, but it's your spirit, man. Hallelujah. It's to say, thank you, Jesus. It's the spirit of the living God down on the inside of you that's moving. And so when you're praying, I want you to never forget this. When you're praying, or just after you pray, and you've been in a place of really praying and worship, I'm not talking about where you can't even put a time on. You cannot, because sometimes you can pray for an hour and not experience what you can feel in 1 second, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, a minute. We can't put God in a box and fix everybody to say, I need this much. God knows how much you need. God knows the sincerity of our hearts. So this is what he says. He says immediately that her bleeding stopped. As soon as you touch this word, as soon as you get it down, that's what Smith Wigglesworth is saying. He says, let us go further. There is only one thing to do. Stay fully aware and always pressing on. Press on and run this race. So someday you'll wear a crown. And so on page 169, on about that bottom middle paragraph, it says, it will not do to trust in the past. Don't worry about the past. Let the things from the past be the past and look forward to the future and hold on to the unchanging word of God. And let us go forward, he said, when it comes to the power of momentum, the spirit of God moves us so that you become transformed. Transformation is not just a one-time experience. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. A Reverend Michael Thompson today was talking about the book he wrote, and he was sharing how if you can get people to change their thinking by faith, by word, by the speaking word that you give somebody to encourage them. And I'm talking about, he's talking from a man who's been teaching children and working with you for 40 years. And he said, Seals, when you begin to speak life into people, that's love. That's the life of God. That's the spirit of the living God that's coming out of you. And that's what's happening here, that she's reaching out to Jesus, her spirit, her thirsting to want to be healed and to believe so much. It wasn't just that she wanted to be healed. It wasn't just that Jairus wanted his daughter to be saved and brought back. He didn't know that she had died yet. It wasn't that the demons knew more than what the other men knew. They knew because they had been in the experience to know, because they're in a different realm, and they knew the power of God. That so immediately they come to him. Immediately this woman who believes in him even comes. The difference is the demonic recognize the power of God just like the holy people of God, just like the backslider. Hey, the God recognizes you, and you can move his heart by prayer of sincerity, surrendering to God. And so here we say, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, or that's the NIV. King James says, if I could touch the hem of his garment. And then she touches him, and immediately Jesus said, I felt something. My virtue, which is the righteousness of God, the power of God. It also means for us the right standing. It is the spirit of morality that's in you that moves you to do what's right. It's your compassion. It's your love. It's your thoughtfulness. It's the passion that God gives us, the same he has for us, that we have for one another, that you can feel people's hearts. You can feel their pain and their suffering. This young boy named Thompson, Miles Thompson, got killed up on the north side, and all he did was come over into Austin community. I lift up the Thompson family. Mark Thompson is his father, and the boy got a full scholarship to college for September or August. He was playing football, and looked like he'd have been in Michigan, but God have mercy on that family. Comfort their hearts, because all he went to do was visit his father, and he got shot, and he wasn't in no gang. He came from north side to visit, to from Northbrook or Glenbrook to visit with his father, and got shot just by an innocent bystander. But Lord, have mercy on the family. I just need to say that because that touched my heart. You can feel the pain of the parents. And so, Lord, comfort their hearts, comfort the friends, comfort those young people that there still is a God that we call Jehovah God. We call the Almighty God. We call him God Almighty. We call him Jesus the Lord, the Son of the living God. And so call on his name. And at once that peace will come upon you, the peace. Only believe, only believe, only believe. So she touched his clothes. And so he turned around and asked, who touched me? Who touched me? It's a song that says, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And now, and so now. So the disciples asked him, well, Lord, all these people, you want to know who touched you? Because he wanted them to know that I felt that, that I feel the needs of the people. Can you pray and stop worrying about self? That's a challenge for us, to step out of self, to empty out of ourselves, and let go of this morning, I was listening to a song that there's room at the table. God has made room, that he's already welcomed you. You don't have to prove anything to Jesus. He just wants your heart. He just wants you to be sincere. He wants you to surrender and come and pray. Praying is talking to God and reverencing who he is, because he is the creator of earth, of heaven and earth, of everything. And it was all made for his glory. So when you shut down everything to give God time, he recognizes that. And so this woman just didn't come by accident. I believe she'd been believing that if I could just touch the hem, if I could just believe without a shadow of a doubt that I am healed. I'm healed. You're healed. You're delivered. So Jesus says, your prayers move my heart. Your prayers, your sincerity, your love. But the woman, now this is something I didn't pull out before, but the woman, this woman with the blood issue, when Jesus asked, who touched me? She honestly goes to Jesus and says, and falls at his feet. When you fall at somebody's feet, does that not tell you that there's some reverence of the holiness of God that's going on here? That if you bowing down, that's giving God the glory. I was talking with, let's keep Sister Naomi Jenny in our prayers. She's a member of Life Church who lost her husband 4 months ago, and then suddenly her son died. And so what's my point? Is that let's keep her in prayer, because her heart is heavy, but Jesus hears it. And she said to me, Brother Seals, I'm not just on my knees. I've been laid out before God. And God gave me a peace. God gave me a peace, Brother Seals, that I know, even at this late age in my life, that God is real. Son, I want you to know God is real. People of God on this line, whoever you are, wherever you are, I want you to know he's real. And just like I could feel her, he could feel you all. And so he says, but the woman fell. She was so sincere that she fell at his feet. And here's what she said in verse Mark 5:33. The woman, trembling and fearing now and knowing what was done in her. So she recognized immediately that she was healed. When God moves on your life, expect it. Go to God expecting your miracle. May not come when you want it, but always expect it. Always believe by faith, by the power of his word. Just faith. Don't doubt him. Just believe, because he said he would heal. And I'm healed. And so Jesus hears this, and he says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith. She fell at his feet and told him all the truth. Like he didn't know, but Jesus already knew. But because of her sincerity, then he blesses her again and he says, oh, daughter, you don't give a name. So he's talking to all of us. We're all his children. He's coming back for the bride. So when you hear that word daughter and son, he's talking about the body of Christ. He's not just talking about the daughter. He's talking about all of us as his children.
the daughter, thy faith. Yes, he's speaking to this woman, but he's speaking to you. By faith, what's faith? What is faith? Faith is the word of God. It's a seed. It's a seed. I'm teaching a class. I'm sorry. This brother Seals, are you trying to get on the line? That's okay. I'll call back. Thank you. Okay. I think that was the clinic. call about my medicine. But anyway, but going forth, that God knows what you're going through. I thought I cut the phone off. God knows what you're going through. And so the daughter, have faith. I may be whole. Go in peace and be healed. Be whole. Be delivered. You are delivered from this plague. Whatever's been bothering you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever kind of way, God deliver you right now in the name of Jesus. Not count it done for your glory. Satan, get your hands off of people. No more distractions. Guard our ears. Guard our thoughts. God, have mercy. And let me have mercy. Let us have mercy one to the other. Let us find that way to stay in his presence. So now we go to another point. Now we go back to Jairus, whose daughter is now been told. Jesus has healed this woman, but he overhears. He said, this is his human part. He overhears that Jairus' people from the synagogue, his friends and families and others and officials came to tell him, your daughter's dying. There's no sense of rushing Jesus to come. And Jesus keeps going. And this is what he says. And while he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue certain people, thy daughter's dead. Why trouble Jesus? Why trouble the master? And Jesus, when he heard this, said unto the rulers of the sky, be not afraid, only believe. Now, they said, when you start thinking about whose report shall you believe? And so whose report do you believe? Are you going to believe what Jesus says, or you going to believe what man is saying? And so he says to Jairus, only believe. Fear not. Be not afraid. Trust me. That's what Jesus' word right now, that's what Smith Wigglesworth is saying to you. I want to sing, only believe, all things are possible if you only believe. That's actually what he wrote in the book, is that believe, only believe, all things are possible. And so on page 170 of the book, the importance of that chorus is that right there in the middle of that word is the word only. See, we can believe a whole lot of things, but he said, only believe me. Only trust in me. Only trust in the name of Jesus. Only trust in the power of my might and the power of my glory. Only trust in the word of God. Amen. And so he's saying then, he says, if I can get you to see when you get rid of yourself and your human help, everything else I have only God from, but everything else and have only God behind you, then you reach a place of great reinforcement. He's saying that when you step out of self, because God is before us, he's around us, there's no place to hide. His ways are higher than ours. Then there's no hole deep enough. There's no breadth wide enough to escape him. He's saying, I am your regard. I am your reward. I am your regard, meaning I am the keeper of everything that's around you. Your whole body, your whole being, it is created for my glory. So when you give your life to Jesus, that helmet of salvation and putting on the whole armor of God is warfare that keeps you on the battlefield for the Lord, because that's why he created you, that you can go spread the gospel and defend yourself and others and lift up and stand in the gap and be a bridge, because it gives you a helmet of salvation, give you a peace of mind that you can speak this word and deliver and speak power and release it. It's not you, it's the spirit of the living God. And so he said, be not afraid. He went and said to them, with all this commotion, why is this noise going on in here? And they started laughing at Jesus, because he said, she's not there. She's just asleep. Can you imagine if you had that kind of faith and you walk into a room and somebody tell you your mama just died and you went in there and said, mama, get up.
The blood. Whoever it is, heal in the name of Jesus. Can we believe? Yes, I do. I believe God will give us. I believe he's given it to us. We just got to exercise it. We got to use it. We got to trust him enough to call on it more frequently and not think it's for somebody else and it's only for certain groups of people and only for certain levels. It's not that. It's real relationship with God. Because he gave it to all of us to be used for his glory. This word can be spoken. We don't know who in the church is being blessed by somebody that's praying and may not be in the prayer ministry. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't recognize us just by face. He knows us by hearts. Hallelujah. He knows everything. He knows the hair on your head. And so this is what I wanted to pray for you today. If you go to verse Mark 5:41, they laughed at him. I want you to imagine that whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever you're going through right now, I want you to imagine that Jesus is talking to you and you're in his presence. And I just want you to hear this song. I'm just going to play it and then come. I just want you to hear it. And it's called Talitha. This is by T.D. Jakes. Let me know if you can hear it.
It's morning.
He's saying, Talitha, Talitha, call me, call me. Means daughter, get up, rise. And they call it Talitha, meaning damsel, but actually when you look it up, it means daughter. And Komi means to arise. So God is telling you to rise beyond your suffering. Rise beyond your anger. Rise beyond your circumstances. He said, your little girl is dying, but there's some things that's going on maybe that's destroying your spirit, that's hindering you. God wants to deliver us. Hallelujah. God wants to take you to a new place, a new relationship. He says that the situation looks so grim, but in spite of what it looks like, God says, shut yourself. Put everybody else out. He only invited the Father. He stretched forth. I want you to imagine God is touching your hand and you're reaching out. Yeah, they will call you. Touch God in the division. Talitha, hallelujah. So we thank God. We thank God that this word can go forth. It's a song, but it's a scripture. And it comes out of Mark 5:41 that God is saying to you to arise beyond your circumstances. Arise beyond your doubts and your fears. Hallelujah. And so that lesson became really alive for me as I sit here and I listen.
She said, if I may touch his clothes, that's the NIV. King James.
So as we continue going forth, I don't know how that happened, but we just continue going forth, spreading the gospel of Jesus. Glory be to your name, God. Can you all hear me? Am I okay? Did the signal go out? Anybody? Hello? Can you all hear me?
Yeah, I still hear you.
Amen. I can hear you. Amen.
I can hear you.
All right. I was getting concerned. Who's Galaxy 9, Note 9?
Deacon Nevels.
Hey, Deacon Nevels, but God bless you all. But that's the word of God. That's how the God is moving. And it comes in a song today, but he's really saying, little girl, but he's saying to all of us, get up, rise beyond your faults, rise beyond your doubts. Immediately the girl stood up and got up and walked around. At this, they were all astonished. So give God glory. So the second point I want to bring out, God will give you rest and come unto me all. He says, come unto me all. God will give you rest. Come unto me.
See, God is saying, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come unto me. This is his word. So what he's telling us, Smith Wigglesworth, is you have to see yourself stronger than your enemies. See yourself stronger than the devil. See yourself stronger than the attacks that you're getting. To know that God has given you the power to believe, to overcome. That when they come, expect it. But don't be dismayed, but trust God. And get to the conditioning in your spirit realm the way you do physically. You work out and you get stronger and you get stronger. You get stronger in this word. Where you get to a place where you want the Holy Spirit to fill you and to renew in you and to quicken your spirit and to break the yokes. Break the yokes of all the things that could be plaguing you that nobody else knows. That's what the song was saying, Talitha. Who may, but God is saying to us, to share with you, arise, arise. Put your phones back on mute, arise. So Jesus heals now the possessed boy. But he says, before I go, I want you to remember this. For he says, my yoke is easy. So take upon him. So he says, take the yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and lean of me and learn of me. Lean on God. For I am meek and lowly, ye shall find rest in your souls. You shall find rest in your souls. So I want you to rest in this word with God. I want you to get away and just pull away and rest in the presence of the Lord and be renewed in your spirit. Because that what he's telling us is that all that I bore, my yoke, meaning this cross that Jesus created is a yoke. The ox put a yoke on. They put a ox, they take the yoke and they put it on him. And then they attach a rein and put it in his mouth so they can control him. And the yoke, it harnesses it so they can't just break loose. And it doesn't bruise him. So it fits. But it constrains him because now he can't break out of places so easily. But it's under control. That Jesus says, I have you. Take upon me my cross. Take upon you your cross. Carry your cross. Carry your burdens and bring them to me. Bring them to the altar of prayer. That altar of prayer doesn't have to be at the church or at any specific place. It could be wherever you are right this second to say, Lord, here I am. Welcome in. You're welcome into our hearts. You're welcome into our homes. You're welcome into wherever we are. Take over. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. He said, Lord, prepare me to be that tabernacle. Lord, prepare me to be a tabernacle. So now we go now to back to the story of Mark, of another story that we find in Mark 9 that's talking about the possessed boy that the disciples could not deliver. And so the father this time, he says, a man in the crowd said, teacher, rabbi, I brought my son to these disciples. He's been possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. And Jesus says, you unbelieving generations, how long shall you be with me? So we've been in this word, been in this word, been in this word. We want things to change. We have to believe God. Only believe. Only means without exception, without doubt, that you are my God. I trust you. I believe, only believe in you, God. In fact, don't put no trust in no other man, no other woman, nobody. Put your first trust in God because he'll never fail you. I'll fail you because I'm flesh. I'm human. I make errors. I make mistakes. I say the wrong things. I don't do things the way that I possibly should do. But God has a heart and a heart that says that I am a God of salvation. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I am the creator. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he's saying to us. And so here we find that he says, when the spirit saw Jesus immediately, it threw the boy on the ground. So as you go through these experiences of walking with Jesus, that immediately the attack sometime will increase, but God is moving in us. And so the demons in this boy threw him down on the floor. and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. This is Mark 9, 17, 19 to 24. And so Jesus says, how long has he been like this? He says, since the childhood. And so he has been thrown into the fire. All these things have happened. And then he says, the Father says, if you, Jesus, can do anything, can you help me? If you can, Jesus, don't ask Jesus if you can. Just say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, come in, enter in, God. Have your way with me, Father. And immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the spirit and the deaf mute and the spirit, I command you to come out. He rebuked the impure spirit. He spoke life. He spoke deliverance. He spoke healing. And so what am I saying to us? That the word of God is teaching us, I command you. The word is a commanding word. It's a forceful word. It's a warfare word. Command, meaning that I'm in battle with you and I have charge over you, devil, and over this situation, because my God in me, the Spirit of the living God, the word is my weapon. It's a shield and a buckler. Hallelujah. That gospel of Jesus Christ is your shield and your buckler. And so what am I saying to us is to keep trusting God. Keep believing in the power of his word and his might. And there's no condemnation. Now we get to a new subject matter now. A whole different condemnation. In other words, God no longer condemns you because of your sin. Because you've come to him and he's delivered you out of the sin nature. Not out of your flesh. Because there's no good thing in this flesh, in this body. As long as you live, there's no good thing in this flesh. And so what the Holy Spirit is reminding us is as we continue to study this word and to speak the word of life into what God is calling us to do, the glory cloud of God that's around you, the peace of God that's in you, God is saying, I don't hold any of this against you. I have forgiven you. Know not that you serve a faithful God, a God who's not going to fail you, a God who knows the beginning and the end. I am your Savior. And so he says, there is no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that's hindering you anymore. I have wiped the slate clean. I've delivered you. I've healed you. And so there is no more anything else but to trust in the power and the glory of God. And so what I'm saying to you all is let us get to this place in our relationship with God that he's saying, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the living God. So when you're reading this word, it's the Spirit of the living God. The word is the Spirit of God. It's the seed of God. It's the ruach of God. It's the breath of God. It's the love of God. It's the joy of God. It is God that says, come unto me, all ye heaven laden. It's God who says, walk not after this flesh, but after my spirit. Try me and see. Hallelujah. And verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of the life of Jesus have made me free from the law of sin. So I'm free. I can choose now. See, when you were in sin and every day you were planning sin, you were planning stuff that you shouldn't have been doing. You were living a life of situations of rejecting the hand of God, of opposing and being an enemy against God. That's what enmity is, an enemy against God that's in your mind. So God says, now I brought you to follow my spirit because the word is alive in you, but I need you to understand you got to strengthen yourself by continuously staying in this word. Walk with me and talk with me. Meditate on, oh God, can I have a closer walk with Jesus? Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemning by Christ. The worst enemy in the world is yourself. Your natural mind always continuously trying to bring stuff back that you should have done differently. All the negativities that you can get. And the more you want to draw close to God, just understand that the enemy will attack you.
But just understand that you also have the power that Wigglesworth said, I want you to get to this place. That like Wigglesworth said, I want you to get to this place that you know that you have the power. Because you are an emissary. You're the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You're God's chosen elect with bowels of mercy and kindness and love and gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is all in you. You can't help but love people. Doesn't mean that you're always loving, but there's a compassion that you have, that you want to get to that place where that love never stops. It's an abounding, overflowing presence of the abundance of God, overflowing with the love of God. And then he goes to verse 6 and said, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. So God is saying, because I've drawn you, because you've confessed and believe in your heart. It's not just what comes out the mouth. It's what you believe down inside of you, down in your spirit realm, down in your soul. Do you really believe me? Do you really trust in this word? Can you follow me? Can you obey my word? Can you only, when you trust me, only believe all things are possible if you only believe in God. We can meditate on all kind of stuff and meditate on God. Teach me how to meditate on things you want me to meditate on. I don't want to be meditating on stuff I want to meditate. I want to pray with God. You said man not know how to pray, so teach me how to pray. God, teach me how to meditate on what you want me to meditate on, so that I can write the visions that I can be used for your glory. That's what he's saying to you. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. So if you in the spirit, it's because the spirit of God dwells in you. And because you confess his name, believing this word, this spirit, the spirit of God who created you is moving through you. It's moving through your veins, your blood, your mind. Every nerve system is subject to the obedience of God's command to heal, to deliver. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Living the spirit life, confirming, number B, confirming one's calling and election. This is what he's saying to you. Confirm it by believing. Confirm it by spending time in this word. He says, what? No, not that your body, you are holy temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've been not what you see. I'm talking about what's inside, the natural, the spirit man. Because you know there's a natural and a spiritual. And so Jesus even shows us when he says that he overheard, that's his natural. Jesus already discerned what was going on. Because he's the Son of the living God. He is God. In the beginning was the Word. And then it says the Word became flesh. And who's the flesh? Jesus. And you're the only creature that God made that has all of the abilities and the skills and all that you have for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so he's telling you that this place of worship, the tabernacle, means a place is a meeting place. It's a tent of meetings where you can call on Jesus. When he rent that veil, you come to him. In the story of Titus, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy. Remember I said early on about the mercy of God? What I was saying about the mercy of God? The mercy is God doesn't give us what we deserve. Can you have mercy on people? Sure. Instead of reacting negatively to the things that they do to you, ask God to strengthen you to operate in the spirit of love, operate in the spirit of his grace, because his mercy doesn't allow us to receive what we deserve, but his love, his grace, when we operate in the grace of God, then what he's doing is taking us and moving his word through us to speak forgiveness to unforgiveness, to love your neighbors as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, even your neighbors as yourself, to love your wife as though she represents the church. Hallelujah. And love your husbands. Because God is coming back for us, the believers, those who have a heart for God.
And so Peter, another point that I wanted to raise, I'm not going to get into the depths of what I have on the paper, but he said, according to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything that we need, he says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and the godliness through the knowledge. Listen to that, the knowledge. So how do we get knowledge? We get knowledge by the word of God, by studying this word. The knowledge of God is the word of God. It's the mind of God, that this natural mind is not subject to the will of God. And it becomes obedient to the will of God and not to the will of the flesh. And so this knowledge of God that he releases, he says, the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. In other words, to give God the glory. And the virtue is meaning the love and the passion, but also the power that God gives you to operate with the knowledge of God, that you can know all things through Christ who strengthens you. God strengthens us to be able to do his will. And one of the references I pulled out was in Philippians 3. This is on page 4. He says in Philippians 3 and 8, and yea, doubtless I count all things lost. Whatever's going on, whatever sacrifice you have to make, count it for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whatever you sacrifice for the glory of God, know that it will come back 10, 100-fold, 10, 30, 100-fold. We don't know how God is going to bless you. Just know that he will. Ask him, believe, and search. But ask him for godly wisdom. Ask him for knowledge and understanding. Godly. He says that through the knowledge of him, that glory, the call up to glory. For him I have suffered and lost all things. Do count them as done. Everything that I have lost. I told my wife last week, I don't want nothing back the devil stole from us. Whatever sacrifices we made, we did it for the glory of God. Whatever we lost, it wasn't for us. Whatever you didn't get, it wasn't for me. It wasn't for you. Whatever you didn't receive, when God has something for you, hold on to it. Grab it and obey what he tells you to do. For the light of God is the spirit that shineth in you. The light of God is a God's divine light. It's the presence of God's word that comes alive in you, that people begin to feel the shifting in your spirit. They can tell when you're faking and ha, 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 and know, hey, glory, I got something going on here. It's not just you. It's the spirit of the living God. It becomes you. It becomes who you are in your faith with walk with God. Faith walk. Because I don't mind suffering now. Do I get tired? Yes. Do you get tired? Yes. Do other people get tired? Yes. But wait on the Lord and be of good courage. For he, what do you mean he? His word. His word will perfect what he sent it to do. You're his husbandry. You're his children. You're everything he created you to be. And he's not going to let you suffer more than what you can bear. Ephesians 5 and 8 says that we were sometimes in darkness. Even when you were in darkness, Jesus still loved you. God loved you. And he sent the Holy Ghost. Jesus, when he died, sent the Holy Ghost to comfort her, to be with you. When you lose a child, lose a daughter, whatever it is that you might be going through, God comforts your heart. And John 8 and 12 says, they spake Jesus again unto them, and I am the light of the world. And he that followed me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So that light that you're seeing shining is the light of God that's shining in each one of us. And the light shineth out of darkness, because the darkness can't consume God's light. For you are the children of God. You are the children of God. Romans 8 and 14 says that for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are sons. So again, he's saying to you, do you know who you really are? When he was referring to these scriptures in here, he was talking about there's no condemnation. He's telling us that I have set you free, that you don't have to live, that you don't have to live with all the memories and things. I've wiped your slate clean, so forgive yourself. Let go of everything else and trust God. Get in that word and have a Holy Ghost blood washing mind separating that. Cast all that stuff out of you that's not right and not of God. For he says God wants us to see that there's life
that is contrary to this natural life that we live. There's a life that he has in the Holy Spirit life, a life filled with love and joy and peace and abundance, understanding with wisdom, and not may not all be material stuff, but a joy and a peace and happiness that money cannot buy you. So he says to us, if children and heirs. Now, if your daddy is the heir, what does that tell you? If your father is an heir of the kingdom, that means that you're rich. So everything that you need, your father has. I'm talking in a natural sense. If your father was the king of kings, if your father was Branson, who just went up to all the way up to the apex, the apogee, whatever they call it, went all the way up to space and came back down and landed and glided and all that, spent all of them billions and millions of dollars that they got. If he had all that, don't guarantee that there's no peace, don't mean you're going to heaven, no relationship with God. I'm not saying he does. I'm saying you need God. We all need God. And so as we study this word, as we continue to get into this engrafted word, if children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So those things that Jesus learned from his father, God is teaching you and I how to do them. Jesus is teaching the disciples. The disciples wrote these books. The prophets wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still moving you to shape your present time. And so to die to self, on page 172, he talks about dying to self. Who believes in the Son has set his free, has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not live a life. So if you believe, guess what we're talking about? If you believe, only believe, that God says, I've given you new life. I've given you the abundance of life. That's John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. Live for the glory of God. I want you to understand, this is Smith Wigglesworth. I want you to understand today that the design of God's Son for us is to be so much greater in this world than we have ever comprehended. Let me read that again. I want you all to understand today that the design of God's Son for us is to be so much greater in this world than anything you can ever comprehend. Then he goes on and says, God's design is not for me to stay where I am. God's design is not for you to stay exactly where you are every day. God's plan is that spiritual revelation will bring you in touch with divine harmony. There's a place that God wants us to get to that's in harmony with him, that's in peace with him. The Son of Man must suffer many things. That's what Jesus says in Luke 9. He's saying you're going to suffer some many things. And he goes on and he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. All of us have been rejected. All of you have been through something. This is Luke 9:22. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So that's where that term die daily is coming from. It starts off with Peter talking about it, but it also talks about Luke saying it, that die daily, I let go of self to walk in the presence of God. For whoever will save his life will lose it. You can't find the glory of God worrying about the past. It's a new relationship day in and day out. Is greater than any other love you could have because it fuels the love that I have for my wife. It fuels the energy I get from doing this, gives me strength to bear up, to make me shut my mouth. Sometimes I get too quiet. Sometimes I don't communicate well. Whatever it is, God is a deliverer. And he's telling us right now, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, all the suffering you've been through, I come to tell you today. Don't give up hope on what Jesus is doing in your life. Don't let go of the unchanging hand in the presence of God in your life because he's moving. For whosoever will save his life, if you get busy trying to do things and take things into your own hand, Smith Wigglesworth is saying what God is saying to the world, I have greater works for you, but I need you to let go. I need you to be obedient. I need you to have a spirit like Paul. I need you to be able to suffer and count it all joy. I know how to be at peace and to be at a place of of understanding and knowledge, no matter what's going on. Lord, I want to be in that place. I'm not always there, but Lord, I'm asking you to desire to get there, because that's what he's calling us to do. That's the greater of you. It's not the, just the greater works that everybody can say, oh, look, he's great. No, he's talking about the spirit realm. So when you get this together, that the platform, the solid rock that you're standing on, you become a rock, a foundation that you won't bend over and be evil and angry all the time. Your flesh gonna mess with you, but he delivers you. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings. And if you're not careful, we could spend so much time complaining about what we don't have that we won't even thank God enough for the blessings. Notice he said interpretations of tongues on page 172 to 174. He goes into this and he says, and I wrote this, divine revelation. So this interpretation of the God's divine word is communicating knowledge to man by the word of God. It's a supernatural relationship. It's revelation. It's making known God's word, this seed, this spirit, this mustard seed of a word brings revelation. It brings the ability to be able to convey what God is speaking to you to help somebody else, to be able to plan out what God, you hear him say to you in the spirit realm, that you're writing things down because he told you to write the vision and make it plain. And though it may tarry, it will come. So don't give up. Just keep working at it. Now, what does it say in Revelation 21, 1 and 3? And I saw a new heaven. There's a newness in life. I'm not just talking about what John said when he was caught up in the heavens, but he's saying to us that there's a new life and a new earth. Yes, it's a new city coming. But he says in verse 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is within us. In other words, that new city, that new birth, then the redemption is the newness of life. To be redeemed means that the purchase and price you've been pulled out of and set aside, because that's salvation, that's sanctification, separation, that he brings you now into the fullness of his relationship with you and him. Hallelujah. That's what the word does. So we say he will deliver his spirit, the living word, the breath, the ruach of God. And so I hear a great voice out of heaven. I hear words. I feel it in my spirit, man. It's the spirit of the living God. I feel a voice I hear singing. A voice that's dwelling down on the inside of me, because I'm in the tabernacle. You are. I'm talking like it's just me. You are tabernacle. You are tabernacle. You're the meeting place of God. And he's saying that I dwell with you. And you are my people. I've chosen you from generation to generation. Created you in my image. I created you in my image for my glory. I kept you on the battlefield, for the battlefield of the Lord is mine, saith the Lord. The battles are mine, it's not yours. I set you up. And people may never, ever appreciate you, but God knows you. God loves you. So get your heart and mind off of worrying about people accepting you and time. That's a message for me. Get stop worrying about pleasing everybody and what you can't do, and be grateful for what you can do, and be thankful that God is blessing you. Brothers, sisters on this line, my sister, my wife, Elder Jennifer Seal, be grateful. Sister Charlie May, be grateful. Sister Emma, be grateful. Brother Nevels, be grateful. Emma, be grateful. Everybody on this line, Clarence Brown, be grateful to God. James Young, be grateful to God for what he's doing right now in your life, because he's not failed us. Behold, I said, you are tabernacle. People laugh. That's why I ain't going to talk about tabernacle, because you don't understand what this is. It's a meeting place. I'm in a meeting place with God. A meeting place with my God. Yes, the sweetness. Go to page 6 on your handout. Sweetness of the Lord. He goes before us, and he's our rear guard. I said that earlier. Don't worry about what's behind you. Press on to the mark of the prize of the high call. Listen to this. So he says that the sweetness of the Lord, the sweetness, for we are unto God a sweet savior. In other words, that, remember I told you about the sweet smell? In the book of Exodus, he told Moses, when you make the altar, it's got to have four corners, one on each side, It's got to be rectangular shape or square. It has to have gold rims. So what that represents, and you're going to put incense down in it. That's because I'm holding you all in my hand, because I made the world. I made a dome. I separated the heavens, and I separated the waters from the heavens. Ah, and I created you in spite of yourself. I've kept you. I've kept you in such a way that even when your many enemies came against you, I restored you and renewed you. Stop looking for other people to please you. Stop looking for feeling sad because you can't do the things you want to do. And trust me, saith the Lord, for we are unto God a sweet savior. In other words, your prayers in that altar of prayer represents you being in your knees or being standing wherever you are, walking wherever you are, wherever you are in your prayer place, whenever you call on him. Just remember, it's a sacred place. And the pain and the suffering represents the incense. But it's really the believer's prayers that are going up that God hears and becomes a sweet smell in the nostrils of God, because he knows your heart. He said, I give you a clean heart and a right mind. I deliver you. And so Proverbs 24 says, oh, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good. The word is good. Oh, taste and see. I ain't hungry for nothing else right now. I'm going to get hungry later. But just feed me this word like a scroll. Feed it to them, Jesus. Feed everybody that's listening. Feed them that they get hungry for nothing but a thirsty like a deer that panteth after the water. I just want more of you, Jesus. Teach me how to stay in this place of peace. It's a reference that we can get to with God, that it can stay. You can stay with him even the more. I used to say, you can't stay there. Yes, you can. Stop telling yourself what you can't do. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. God does supernatural things. It's not for you to do. It's for us to surrender and let him place us there so that you can be in that peaceful. I used to watch my grandfather for years and years and years, and I didn't know for years and years and years and years later that he wasn't always like that. But he grew to be that way because of his relationship with God. Amen. And so he said, it becomes a sweet smell because it is good, and a honeycomb, which is sweet. It's a sweet taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom. So what is he saying? That the word of God is a sweet taste? Yes. There's a goodness, the goodness. Next week, I'm going to pull out, make a note. Next week, I'm going to pull out. What does that sweetness really mean in Greek? That just came to my mind. Let's break that down, because it's the word. It's the power of God's words, the manifestation. It's the revelation. It's the enlightening of the word that makes you feel better because it's good. And it says taste good. It's an illustration of how good you feel when you get engrafted in this word. You get caught up in it. Ha, glory, kishatada. And so he said, so shall thy soul knowledge of wisdom. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. I sow this word into you right now. This living word of God is the knowledge of God that I've given you that establishes you. That's the knowledge of God, the mind of God, the thinking of God, the ways of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace and the mercy of God, the love of God, the passion of God, all of these things that God gives us. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. That's what this is saying. Wait. When thou hast found it, never let it go. Then there is reward waiting on the Lord. He's never forsaken anything. Anybody leaves their families, anybody leaves and sacrifices for the glory of God, doing it for God, not for yourself, but you've been called to do it for the glory of God, expect God to heal, to deliver, to break through. Don't know how it's going to come. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, I always say that. But God said, I'll deliver you from every storm, every storm, every storm, every trial, every tribulation. And Psalm said, the poor man cried to the Lord. He heard Psalm 34, 6 and 9, and saved him out of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamped around them, and they feared him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Even in the presence of your enemy, he said, oh, taste and see. In other words, remember how good I've been to you. In the midst of your storm, instead of worrying about what you can't do, call on my name right now. You're in a situation where you don't know how you're going to make it when you get to the place. I heard my wife pray. praying. And she said, when you get to the place where you just don't feel like you can go on, you got so much right there, it cut you. So whatever's going on, it's so much, but God says, hold on, I'm right here. I'm, let go, let go, let go, let go. Let go and let go. That's what he's telling us right here. He said, get able, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you. The Lord is going before you. That's Isaiah 52 and 12. The Lord said that this was, Smith Wigglesworth is telling us that the Lord has already plowed the way for you because he's the one that died on the cross. All you got to do is carry your burdens and follow in his footsteps. The path is very narrow, but it's clear that it's his pathway. Why? Because even in the darkness, his light still shines, and it's shining in you. And so, get Daddy Bullshit. The word makes us free. God, the creator, made you free. He made you free. He separated you, and he ushered you into his presence. Woo-hoo! I'm at number 3 on your handout, page 6. God, the creator, is our all in all. He has set you free, set us free, set me free. Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians 15:20, and then all shall be subdued unto him. Then shall the Son of Man also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, put everything under God, that God may be your all in all. You see, the scripture is telling us, I'm your all in all. I'm your everything that you need. Seek me and you'll find me. Call me and I'll answer. Wait on me and I'll really answer you. Because it's in the waiting. It's in the trusting if you can only believe. Ephesians 4:6, one God, one Father of all, who is above all. So if he's above all and he's your Father, there's nothing too hard for God because he's your all in all. So I use these scriptures to just reinforce what Smith Wigglesworth is writing about. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what he's saying. So I pulled scripture. I've been led by scripture just to teach from the scriptures what Smith Wigglesworth is talking about. There's no condemnation. Why? Because God paid the price. Why? Because he set you free. Why? Because he's the Spirit, and they that follow me trust in the Spirit. And if you believe that the Spirit dwelleth in you, why? Because he said so. The Lord has opened our eyes. You are more than a conqueror. See, all of these scriptures, and I gave you a reference that you can go pull up this revealing and to remove all spiritual blindness, that he can open your eyes and enlighten you to see. The first piece said, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to destroy you. He's like a roaring lion waiting on you, seeking around. Now, in the book of Job, he said that the enemy was coming after Job, and God said, have you tried my faithful servant? So he said, try Job. And so I always say, whatever you're going through, God knows. Some things come by omission, some things come by commission, some things just come because you can't even figure out why. You just got to trust God. Psalms 146:8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I was once blind and now I can see. I was once blind and now I can see. That's what, it's a song that goes like that. And so he said, the Lord raised up those who are bowed down. So if you got a haughty spirit, the haughty spirit come before the fall. The seed of God, the word of God, the love of God, the passion of God will give you a spirit of humility. It will bring you to a place of wanting to surrender. You have never seen a deer go get some water and be around rough waters. Most of the time, deer are around still waters. That's why he said, like a deer that panteth after the water. Because I want you to be still. I want you to hear me. I want you to be able to, in the midst of the storm, that you can stand. And you know what? In the eye of the hurricane, in the eye of the tornadoes, and most major storms, there's a place of peace in the middle of that. And the experts who chase storms and study them have found it. And so they go in the eye of the storm, and they drop instruments down and they measure. If man can do that, what cannot God do? Because God gave them the imagination, gave them the word and the knowledge of how to do it, because he created everything for his glory. Hallelujah.
And so the Lord opens your eyes. The Lord loves the righteous. So if you have a good spirit, a loving spirit, a right spirit, that you want to obey God. And so I'm going to speed up and just finish the lesson because it's about 3:20. So I want to finish spirit-filled prayer. I want to end with two things on the spirit-filled prayer on what page 176. He talks about the spirit-filled prayer. This is the scripture he gives us, Romans 8:26. And he says, likewise, the spirits also help us our infirmities, but the spirit itself maketh intercessions with us, for us, with groaning, which cannot be understood. That's the Holy Spirit. It intercedes for us. But you have to be in prayer in order for God to do that. Now, let me clarify. God can move whenever he wants to. And if you're living a life for the glory of God, he's you'll feel it, you'll know it, you'll recognize it. Not all the time. But you grow to understand the move of God. And that's what I never take it for granted. Even after all these years of studying, I'm still learning. I'm still desiring to learn. I want to be around people who can hear that God says, I'll show you, I'll teach you. And so he says in Romans 8:36, he says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It didn't say you loved him first. He loved you first. So you are more than a conqueror. See yourself as strong and mighty in your humility, in your gentleness, in your kindness. It be that spirit of the living God. Let it come alive in you that it's the work of God, that you give him the glory. Beloved, believe not every spirit. He said, and don't even trust yourself, but trust by the word of God. Make sure that whatever you're doing lines up with the will of God. Now, faith is supreme and gives us power. So John, 1 John 5:4, number 5 on your handout, page 7, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer because you've been born of God. You've been born through the blood of Jesus, washed clean and saved and sanctified. And the Holy Ghost comes and comforts you and heals you and delivers you by the power of this word that breathed life into you and sends angels of God to direct you, to cover you, to protect you, to speak to you, Lord, to correct you even. Hallelujah. He said, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? If you're going to be a believer, expect to overcome. To be an overcomer, you got to believe in this word. Only believe. All things are possible. If you only believe. On the last page, you can read the rest of these scriptures. Two thoughts. Deep, call it to the deep. In the midst of your storm. Number 4, page 177. Psalms 42, 1 through 7 and 7 through 8. I just mentioned the dear heart, the heart. That's as the heart panteth for water, the heart, H-A-R-T, that's a deer. It's a baby deer. So the deer that panteth after the water, by the water brooks. There's not no, this is not stormy weather, stormy water. So the pant, so he panteth my soul after thee. Lord, I need a drink. I need a taste, oh God. Taste and see that the Lord, the word is God. Taste and eat of this word. Feed me like a scroll, Jesus. For the Lord is my high tower. But listen to this. Psalm 42, 1 and 7 through 7. I'm not going to read all of it. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul. In other words, I'm thirsty for the more, Jesus. I desire to be in your presence. I want you all to desire to be in the presence of God. I want you to call upon the deep and the noise of the overspouts. I had all these little O's and Q's and T's. That's a blue letter Bible. If you click on it and you have your computers open and you have get blue letter Bible, it's free. You click on these little letters here and it gives you different reference scriptures. And so on, by the way, he says, the deep calling, my soul thirsteth after God, for the living God. And so if you notice on these handouts, I have A, and then it goes to number 5. I don't always add everything else because there's so much more that I could add. So maybe God's given it to me to write a book. I don't know. But right now, because of you all, we have about 130 pages by the time we finish or more of notes. that have been compiled for this class. And so he says, deep calleth into the deep at the noise, at the water spout. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command that. So whenever the storms come, whenever the raging sea rises, no matter what it is, the storms come against you in life. He says, the command, his loving kindness will come. And in the night, his song shall be with you. That's why he tells us to remember hymns and songs and praise of worship and call on his name and meditate on his name and study the word and have some songs you can call on and just say, praise him. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God. Yeah. Be the glory for the things he, glory has done. Father, thank you. And my last scripture for you is very personal because it touched my heart last night. He says, verse 2, enlarge the place of the tent. And this is a story about the barren woman. But he wasn't talking about just the women who didn't have children, couldn't birth children. What he's saying to the world is that because of the sin of man, some things you go through, because of the timing of the world, because of hatred in the world, there's some barrenness or some times in your life where there's a drought and things just don't come the way you want them. But I want you to see what he said, like he told Habakkuk, he says, extend thy territory, extend the court, extend the cords of your tent. He says, enlarge thy tent. This is Isaiah 54, and we're going to close on this. And extend thy court in the name of Jesus. And let thy stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not lengthen thy cord. Lengthen. In other words, stretch out to me. Let go of everything else, Anton and Jennifer, Sister Charlie Mae. Let go of everything else, Sister Willa Mae and Emma. Let go of everything that anybody listen. Let go of everything. And I'll strengthen you. Trust me. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed, the word, thy seed shall inherit. Your children, your grandchildren, I'll bless you. I'll give you land that you never worked for. I'll bless your families and your children, because I've given you power to get wealth. And my word is rich, and it shall not. It'll make you fat, not the kind of fat I'm talking about. I ain't talking about this fat. I'm talking about fat, but the riches of his glory that gives you joy, that blesses your families for generations to come, that heals and delivers. Fear not. In your barren times, in your droughts, in your seasons of pain and suffering, fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed. Don't live in shame. Don't live in guilt. Devil, you a liar, and I rebuke you. I cast him out of my house. This morning, I had a mind that was made up that I just went through the house opening the doors. God said, "You Holy Spirit said, you don't have to go open no doors. I just put them out because the evil that's in is not the door. It's got to come out of you, the negative thinking. Because I want you to have a pure heart and a right mind that stayed on Jesus and be not ashamed, be not fearful, nor confused. For thou shalt not be put to shame because I am your Father." Listen to this, verse 4. "For thou shalt forget the shame." God has erased it. He erased all your sins, all the negativity, so you let it go. "Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood." All the things that people have done to you, God says, I've taken it away. And no matter what they try to do, I've opened doors and windows that nobody else can open or close. I'm blessing you and your family. "For thy maker is thine husband." In other words, I'm your husband. I'm the God. I'm your creator. The Lord of hosts is his name, the maker, the creator himself. I'm your redeemer. This is what he was talking about, the redeemer. You've been redeemed by the fire. Your trials, your tribulations, your suffering is a fiery furnace, but God is in control of the fire. And he said, I've been with you through the fire. Hebrews, boys, I've been through with you. Children of God, I've gone through. I've let you go through. I'm bringing you out into a new season. Oh, taste and see that my word is good. I've not failed you. It's time for you to have a change in the mind. So I allowed you to go through, so that I could change how you see things. Your lens have been taken off. You can see clearly now. The God of who this whole earth shall be called, Lord God Almighty. The God of the whole earth shall he be called.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, whatever word you want to put with it. It's God blessing you, God healing you, God delivering you, God providing you, God protecting you. And as he said, Talitha, 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 Kumene. Some say Kumene. Rise up. God has no condemnation. He's wiped your slate clean. Let go. It's a new beginning. It's a new season. I've turned the captivity of Zion. In other words, God had told the children of Israel that they were going to be punished. I believe God is saying to believers right now who've lived through this pandemic, it's a new season. Only if you believe. I've opened up doors and windows. I'm going to take you places and do things you've never seen. Whatever you got on your agenda, I want you to write a note down. I want you to put it away. Write down what you believe God has given you to do. And ask God, what is it that he has for you? And they say, Lord, here's some things I'd like to do. These are things that I want. But God, I want your will to be done for the rest of my life. I can imagine being 95, 100 years old, still singing. Oh, the glory of his presence. I just want to thank him. I just want to praise him. Because I only believe. God bless you. We'll be back on next Tuesday. That'll be July the 20th. And we have more to come. I was sharing earlier for those of you that weren't on. Because this lesson is so detailed. The study of it from me learning and hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you don't mind, you all asked me to teach an extra 10 weeks. So I'm asking you to hold on for 3 more weeks. Hold on for 3 more weeks. We're going to do part 2, chapter 17, part 2. The week after, on the 27th, we'll do chapter 18. And August 3rd, we'll finish. And God bless you. Peace of God be with each of you. Thank you so very much. We're going to be teaching probably now, not till September, a book called The God Chaser. Don't get this small book. Order the 8x5 or 8x11, whatever that is, that looks more like this. Either this or something along this line. But you don't want that little book because the printing is too small and I can't. So I got it on. You can get this on Kindle as well. And it's not expensive. It's called The God Chaser by Tommy Tenney. The God Chaser. My soul follow hard after thee. My soul follow hard after thee. God Chasers, Tommy Tenney. That's going to be our lesson starting in September. And I pray that you all will come back. Peace of God be with you. Elder Sears, you want to close us in prayer if you're nearby? Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of the Lord that maketh thee rich and addeth no sorrow. We thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that you would continue to bless over Sister Charlamagne. I thank you for her loving sisters, oh God, for Sister Willamae and Sister Charlamagne, and Sister Emma, for James Young, who's got a new job, but we thank him, God, to keep him safe as he travels, as he works nights. God, we ask you to bless over. Continue to bless over my wife as new doors have been opened for her. God, we ask you to continue to watch over Clarence Brown, who's on every week, Deacon Nevels, and all the others that have been on. We bless your holy name and thank you, God. My cousin Lauren and Richard, peace of God be with everybody too. We see each other next week. May the Lord continue to be with you every second of the day. Know that he's there. God bless you. God love you. Thank you all so very much. There's 3:35. Went a little bit longer, but no, thank you for sticking with me. God bless. Bye-bye. Any comments? Hallelujah. Glory to God.